Hello. Hi.
We're live.
We're live. We're on. This is it. Well, it's just, you know, like again, I am just like in awe of this stone fireplace because you see it on TV. And when you watch it and you see Mike in front of it, it kind of gives it that like, ah. And so then when you're sitting up here in front of it, it's like, wow, you know, I'm sitting here in front of the stone fireplace. It's amazing. But I want to do is thank Diane and Mike. I mean, you guys are absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. I mean, just coming in here, you can actually feel there's like this peace that it is beyond understanding. And when you just walk in, it's amazing. They treat you wonderfully. And if people have never been here, I really encourage you to come and to visit these retreats because, again, it's something different when you're here than when you actually listen to it on YouTube. So just come and thank you guys. Like I said, you're absolutely amazing. Mike asked me to come and he asked me to share and he's been asking me for a while and I wasn't quite sure if I wanted to, if I was even ready because, you know, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher, though probably if you get me going, I could probably throw down with the best of them. But I'm not sort of what I consider myself really a speaker. A teacher, I've worked in a school for 11 years, so there's two things I came away with in working in the school. You always bring props with you to learn. That's one of the things you do. And then you always repeat yourself. You always need to be redundant because someone can hear something four or five times, and it might not be until the fifth time that it really clicks. So sometimes you have to just keep speaking it and speaking it. So, you know, what I tell you today, it's just going to be a lot of the same thing, maybe said in different ways, but it's going to be the same. You know, I wanted to start out because I know a lot of you know of me because of my poetry and because of with Mike, and he shares some of my thoughts. And you know me from that, but you don't really know what my background is or where I'm from or, you know, how I even started this. You don't know that. And it's really good to share. I think a lot of times, you know, we're afraid. We're afraid to open up to people. We're afraid to share with them because this persona has this vibe that it wants to just pretend that it is. And it doesn't want to be real with anybody because it doesn't want to be judged. But all the same time, it's judging out there. I mean, especially, you know, you meet someone for the first time and you look at them and you judge them and say, okay, well, you know what, they look really nice. I can probably talk to them. Or you don't. And it's just, it's very hard. No one wants to share. So, you know, I want to come up here and I just want to share with who, you know, my experiences, because it's the same life. There's not a John life. There's not a Phyllis life. There's not a Dana life. There's this persona, but it's the same life. And it's this life that has different experiences. And it's just, I just want to share. And so you know where this life experience came from and what it did. I grew up in a Christian home. I'm glad I did. I was raised by my grandma. My little sister had some health problems. And when I was young, I was always in and out of the hospital because of pneumonia. So my grandma said, you know what? You deal with the other kids. I'll take Dana. So I grew up with my grandma, which was, you know, it was really, it was nice. She was a Christian. We didn't go to church, though. That's one thing she didn't believe. She didn't believe in organized churches.
Wow.
But she would always be home, and she would always set me in front of Oral Roberts. Always. Every Sunday, I would have to sit in front of Oral Roberts. Now, I know it's hard to imagine, but she always said I was a handful, okay? She told me I was just too much to handle, so she would always set me in front of the television and say, you need to pray because you are possessed. Because you're too much. You're possessed. So, you know, I'm sitting here at 9 years old, 8, 9 years old, watching Oral Roberts, you know, thinking I'm possessed. So I remember, and I still have this. I don't know why I still have it, but I wrote this letter to Oral Roberts, said, hey, my grandma says I'm possessed. Pray for me. At 8 years old, I'm sitting here doing this. So, you know, but that's what I grew up with. And, you know, then when you get to be teenagers and you go off to college and you start your own life, you kind of get away from it because you don't want anyone to tell you what to do because you want to live your own life. So you just get as far away from it as you could and begin to do everything that opposite of what you were taught. And so I did. I went down that path, you know, tried some things, had some, great time, had some fun. Then decided it was time to settle down, and I settled down and had a child, got married, had a child. And it wasn't until my first son left this realm when he was 2 years old that I decided, you know what, I remember being at the funeral, and I remember the pastor saying, well, you know what, we don't understand these things, but God just wanted another little angel. Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I went in my room, shut the door, and said, you know what, I'm not buying this. I am really not buying this crap. You know what, I want truth. That's all I want. I want to know what truth is. So I proceeded to go through the usual phases that you go through. I went through the God is good, devil is bad. Devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but God is good. The authority, you know, learning how to take authority over everything. Oh my gosh, I was so good at that. I was taking authority over everything. I mean, I was going out, I was taking authority over the weather, I was doing this, I was trying to control that. You know, there was just, I got into that. But the problem was, is it wouldn't work all the time. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, if this is truth, and if something is an absolute truth, it's gonna work all the time. So what's wrong with me? So then it gets to be looking at you that, oh my gosh, something is wrong with me. Well, I already knew something was wrong with me. I didn't need to have that constantly or reinforced in me that, oh my gosh, something is wrong with me, because it would not work all the time. And that bugged me, because here I was, the seeker of truth. I knew truth had to be the same all the time, and it wasn't working. So I knew that wasn't the way to go. You know, then I kind of got into, you name it and you claim it type of thing. You know, you watch all those pastors on TV and you think, oh my gosh, you got to name it, claim it. I was going through some things. By this time, because I was 7 months pregnant when my first son left, and and then we had a daughter, and was going through some stuff, and I just was like, okay, I need to try something else. So then you get into that. You get into the name it and claim it, and you kind of go to those pastors, and you start watching that and start doing that. And again, you'd have some success, and then at other times, you wouldn't have success. And I just, I couldn't understand that. I'm just like, okay, that's not right either. Something is just, what is it? What am I missing? I mean, that's the first thing. What am I? I must be missing something here, because it's just not right. So then I started getting on YouTube, and I found Gary Sigler. So I looked at Gary, and I started reading, and I had started getting into some of that too, where, the thing was that, God saves everyone, and I was looking at that, because there were things I didn't understand with mainline religion. I couldn't figure out if God said not to eat of the tree of good and evil. Why is he dealing with this based on good and evil? Why is he rewarding based on good? Why was he punishing based on bad? If God said don't eat of the tree, but yet he's operating out of the tree, I couldn't understand that. I'm like, okay, that doesn't make sense. And the big one that really made me question was love. We all know what love says. It says love is kind, it's patient, it's long-suffering. It takes no account of any wrong suffered. No account. So that means you don't know of any wrong suffered. Okay, then why do you need a savior for an account that was a wrong suffered? Could not fathom that. Right then and there go, yeah, it's not what it says it is. This is just isn't right. So then I started looking at, oh, well, God saves everyone. But I'm still thinking, well, that's not right either, because if God saves everyone, there must be a reason why people have to be saved. So that didn't wash with me. So I just got in. I just started reading. Well, what does Jesus have to say? So I just started reading some of the things. And over, the verse that kept coming is, I am the truth, I'm the way, and I'm the life. And we all know what we've been taught, what that verse says, because we've been taught that. But I just made it a point of just erasing everything out of my mind and just looking at that like I absolutely had no idea what that meant whatsoever. And then it started, like, I'm the truth. I started saying it. I just started walking around going, I'm the truth. I'm the way. I'm the life. And I knew it wasn't talking about me, this persona. I mean, you know, this, you know, a 4'11" Italian here that had this, you know, a temper. I knew, Lord knows, I knew that was not the truth, the way and the life. But yet it was, I'm the truth. So I knew it was something deeper. And it just started to click. And I started to understand this about, it's not me. It's not me. And then I remember turning on YouTube because I was looking at one of Gary's, one of his YouTube teachings. And behold, Mike was there. And I started listening to him. And at first I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. There's another wackadoodle out there just like me. Because it was basically the same thing that I was being taught. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. Because it was listening to him, it was life, the life, it was just exploding in this body because it was just confirming everything. And it's just like, yes, yes. And you just know that you know because it totally bypasses this. So I started listening, and then I had called him and he had called me and we started talking and we started conversing, and you know, the rest is not history, it's still happening. So started writing poems. And that was really kind of funny because I never used to write poems.
It's turned upside down. So let's try to pin it here so it's not blocked.
Okay, there we go. All right. So I started writing poetry, but it's kind of funny because the poetry never came until after I started really just this life exploding in me. Then the poetry started to explode. I mean, I always had a creative side because I love to, you know, make flower arrangements and things like that, but I could have cared less about doing anything like poetry. And then I just remember I just sat down in front of the computer one day and it just came, totally just came. I didn't have to think about it. I didn't have to put any words together. I was just typing and they were on the page. And that's how it's been ever since. And so Mike asked me to come today. And he said, you know, would you come and share? And I'm like, okay. You know, didn't even think about it. It's another one of those instances where I didn't even think about it. I just did it. It was, if I would have probably had time to think about it, I could have thought, okay, well, I've got this at work and I got this and I can't do this. And it just totally bypassed, didn't think, you know, got on the plane, came, just didn't even know how anything was going to be, but I just did it. And, you know, it just, that's how you know it's life expressing itself through this body, is when it totally bypasses the mind. And that's what it did. It totally bypassed this mind. So Mike and I, we decided, you know, what are we going to talk about? You know, we talked about this, and he had talked about life beyond understanding last time, and so we got to talking. He goes, "Well, what is life?" And I said, "Yeah, you know, that's a good one. We need to talk about what is life, because we all think we have an idea. Right now, if I look at each and every one of you, and you say to yourself, 'What is life?' You've got an idea of what you think it is." And probably everyone, it's different to everyone in this room of what life is. And so if I ask you what life is, you're going to tell me something different than what Rex is going to tell me, because it's this mind has painted a picture of what we think life is. Right. And to know what life is, we have to know what life isn't. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing we need to understand is, okay, in order to understand what life is, well, what is life isn't? I mean, what is it not? One of the things that it isn't is that it's not separate. It's not a you that somebody has, that you have to live. How many times have we always said, I've got to live my life. I have one life, I got to live it. We've all said that because we think that it's something that a you has. And so it's different. It's not something that you have. It's not something to be lived. Life is all things, all the time. Just repeat that. It's all things, all the time. So it's all things. And our minds cannot comprehend what all things are. We can't even comprehend what all the time is, because all we have is this time right here, but all things, all the time. It's totally incomprehensible. That's how we can know what life is. If we can understand it, it's not life. But if we can't understand it, then it's life. It's hard to talk about life because the mind can't comprehend it. It's beyond the realm of mental understanding. And Mike even taught about this last teaching, and hopefully you guys got a chance to refresh yourselves on what he taught from last retreat, but it's something you can't understand. Again, if you have any idea of what you think life is and you try to understand it, that's not what life is, because this mind will not understand it. To truly understand what life is, you have to know that there is no separateness, no duality, and it actually means you have to get out of your mind.
Get out of your mind?
Get out of your mind. That's the hardest thing. I mean, because that's the phantom man. That's the one that rules and reigns. And you have to get out of your mind. And that's a hard thing to understand. What do you mean, get out of my mind? Got to get out of your mind. That's exactly right. It's losing your mind. So to understand life, you have to know that there's only one. There's only one. That is it. There is life. There's no other. You know, even Paul and Peter, to somewhat, kind of, they didn't understand it. They mixed it with their mind. But they kind of had from the inside, where they talked about one Lord, one faith, one baptism. They had that kind of oneness, that there was something about one, but they mixed it up in their minds and they started getting this religion around it. But that underlying oneness was still there, because it came from the inside out, that there's only one. And that's what we have to start with. We have to start with is that there is only one. The mind of man can never understand oneness, because the mind of man lives and it thrives in duality. It sees through that realm. The mind needs duality to exist, because it was created to determine good or evil. The mind determines what's good or evil. If it didn't have the mind, there would only be life. But the mind determines what's good and evil. And the thing is everybody has different views of what's good and evil. That's the other thing I could never understand. If something was considered good and something was considered evil, why didn't everybody have the same, this is good, this is evil? Because everybody has a different viewpoint of what's good and what's evil. And this mind is the phantom man. This mind is both God and the devil. The phantom man is that image you have of yourself. It's the one that has its likes and has its dislikes. It has the idea of who you are. From the time that you've been born, you've had words spoken over you, and you have an image over who you are. You have this persona that you think you are. You know, I mean, you know, I had it over that I was just this hard to handle, you know, Italian that, you know, was just, you know, you're like a tenacious, like a bulldog, and you have that image of yourself. You know, whatever words that has been spoken over to you, you have this image and you think that that's you. Yet that is the you that's been created. And that's the you that this mind wants to keep.
The mind wants to what?
Keep.
You keep? Oh, gosh.
Yeah. But that's not the truth. The mind exalts this persona of who we think we are, because the mind lives in duality. We have the creation of God, or good, and then we have the creation of bad, or the devil. And all the while, it's the mind that's trying to control by sitting on the throne of judgment, determining what's good and evil for each individual person. It's your mind that's determining that this is good for me, this is bad, and you make every decision in your life based on if this is good and based if it's bad. And all the while, it's that phantom man that's telling you that's who you are. And he's a phantom because he doesn't exist. He's not real. The only thing that's real is life, and it's that oneness. Mike made a statement a while ago, and I think it was a year ago maybe, in one of his teachings. And I don't even know if he realized what he said, because he just kind of said it, and then he went on. But it was a statement that I just kept going back and re-listening to and re-listening to and re-listening to. And he said, righteous judgment is that there's only life and it's complete. And I don't even know if he realized he made that statement. But he made that statement. And I think because he just kind of said it, and then he went on to something else. But to me, that statement really jumped out at me, that righteous judgment is that there's only life and it's complete. That's it. Just life. And it's total and it's complete. There's no right. There's no wrong. It's just life. Now, again, to understand what life truly is, you have to know that there's no me, there's no you, there's no us, there's no we, there's only this life. And sometimes, for me, one day I was sitting and I was at school and I was looking at things. And I was looking at Play-Doh. So I get brought my Play-Doh. You know how hard it is to get Play-Doh on a plane? It's pretty hard, you know, because they, especially when you have like these containers and they really are looking at you like, really, what's in those containers? I'm like, really, it's Play-Doh, honestly.
There might be something in there.
It's Play-Doh.
Plastic explosive.
Exactly.
Hiding.
So.
It sort of looks like that.
It does look like
stuff. They still made it.
They do. You know how hard it is to find, though? All right. So anyway. I know. So anyway, I had these. I was looking. I was at school. And I saw these two pieces of Play-Doh. And I was looking at them. And all of a sudden, it became really clear to me. And I was looking at it. We somehow think that there's this wonderful separate entity out there that controls everything. And we have it right here. And we call it, for whatever reason, we want to call it God. And I don't like to use the term God, just for what Mike explained yesterday, because God means control. And so I don't like to use that. God has a tendency. Again, it's one of those things where if I say God to you, each one of you has an idea in your head of what God really is. So you can somehow have an idea of what it is. Well, that really can't be life then, because you have an idea. So I don't like to use the word God, because, yeah, even I have an idea of what God is. It's, you know, Robert Redford calls him Sky Daddy, you know, that there's this entity out there that controls everything. I don't even like to use the term universe, because you know what? I have an idea what a universe is. And again, universe is kind of something that has the connotation out there. So I don't even like to use the word universe. Now, energy might be the closest thing to it, but again, I have a concept of what energy is. So sometimes I don't even like to use the word energy, because I have a concept of what that is. Now, for me, what works is I use all in all, because I don't have a concept of what all in all is, because I can't fathom what all is. because I don't know what all is. Have not a clue. So I can't even begin to fathom it. So that's the term that I always use. It's all in all, because I can't understand that. So that gets me to the first base. So I saw this, and I thought, okay, this is what we think. We think we have this wonderful supreme energy. And then we have us, and we're over here. And, you know, this is this wonderful energy, and this is Dana. You know, here I am, over here. I was created in this. And what we want to do is we want to join these two to become one. Okay, so to become one. But see, the problem was from the time that I learned and all the way now, one plus one has never equaled one. Never. I might join them, okay, but they're still, it's not one. You still have, even though it might be Play-Doh, you've joined them together. It's not one. You can't join something. You can't be one with something. I have that on my Facebook. You can't be one with something. Because the word with, just its own connotation, is it's with something. There's something else for it to be one with. So it's not one. So you can't become one with something if there is only one. So even though you've joined these two together, it's not one. It's still two. They're joined together, but they're still two. You can take them apart. You might have joined them, but they're not one. And I saw that, and I kept looking at that going, yeah, you know, no matter how much I try to do it, they're still not the same. They're still, it might be one, but it's really not one. They're just joined together, but that's really not oneness. And I kind of looked at that and going, okay, that really doesn't seem right. So then I saw this other Play-Doh over here. And I used the yellow one because it's nice, bright, sunny, sunshine. And I saw this one and I'm like, okay. And this was all there was. And there was only one. But then I took it out and I put some there. And I took some out, and I put it over here. And I took some more out, and I put it over here. It was this. It was just over here and here. It wasn't something that had been joined together that was separate. It was just one. And that's all there was. So then I put it back. It was the same life. There was no different. It was the exact same thing. And it was one. So it wasn't something that was being one plus one equaled one. It wasn't being joined together. It was being taken out of. And it was being placed over here. And to me, it clicked. It was like, oh my gosh, all my life I thought it was this. Mm-hmm. I thought, okay, I was being joined to this one to make a creator. When it wasn't, that was it. It was only this. But it was this that was over here, and it was this that was over here, but it was this. It wasn't something different. It wasn't a Dana. It wasn't a Mike. It was life, and that's all there was. And so I could really see that and understand that. You know, when Jesus said, I and the Father are one, he wasn't saying, I and the Father are one. He was saying, I and the Father are one because what this is, I am.
Yes.
And there is no difference.
Yeah.
And then when you put it back, it's still life. Doesn't change. It's still the life that was over here. You just don't have this housing, but it's still this. It's still life. So the phantom man is never going to understand this, because the phantom man means that there is no longer this. It means you're going to be getting rid of this. And he doesn't want that. It would be the non-existence of you. The individual identity wants to hang on. It wants to hang on. It wants to hang on to whatever it can. It wants to tie itself onto something, to join itself to something so it can exist. Because if there's, you know, if I'm joined to become one, that means that there's still a me. I still exist somehow. And that's what his goal is. It's either to be just him, or at least let's join myself to something. But at least somehow he still exists. He still has life brought to him of what his view of life is. Now, most people, you know, when Jesus was talking about, he was like, you know, you have to give up your life in order to lose it. Now, most people think, and I was one of them, thinking, oh, I need to give up this, and I need to give up that, and, you know, I need to give up this fun personality, and, you know, saying these off-color things. I have to give up all of that in order to find life. And that isn't what he was talking about. He says, you got to give this up. Because then once you give this up, then you're going to find this.
Nice.
Okay, but you got to give this up. And that's what he was talking about. You got to give this phantom man up. You must lose the mindset that there is a you that has this life. People always tell me when I have said this, they say, well, yes, that's true. There is only one. But you know, we're just individual expressions of that one. I have to look at him and say, do you realize what individual really means?
Separate.
Individual means separate and apart from the group. That's what individual means. So if you're an individual, that means you're separate and apart from a group. So if you're going to have a group, then you can't have one. So being an individual expression isn't the truth either, because that means then you're separate from a group, or you're separate from that. So rather than just being an individual expression of this life, it's this life is just expressing itself in different places. It's not an individual expression. You've got to get individuality out of your thinking.
Yep.
And unfortunately, this is the realm where you get paid to be an individual. You get paid and exalted because of your individuality. When that's really what you have to give up is your individuality to find actual life. So it's the exact opposite. Because there is no individual, because the word one, like I said, means separate, to be distinct. A lot of times, and I was one of them, I exalted my individuality. I loved it. I didn't want to be. I dressed differently. You know, when everybody else was, you know, dressing really nice and this, yeah, I wanted to dress grunge. I didn't want to be like everybody else. I wanted to be separate. Or when somebody would wear, you know, to a wedding, oh, you have to wear this to, I'd wear the exact opposite because I didn't want to be like everybody else. You know, I just wanted to celebrate my individuality. And I spent years doing that to the point where it was hard because I had exalted this. Yeah, I had exalted this so high that it was hard to get, you know, this individual person and getting out of that mindset was real hard. It was very hard because it had been exalted. But you have to do that. And that's where Jesus talks about you've got to lose that life in order to find it. So, the truth is, there's only life, there is only this, and that's all there is. It's all in all. So if this is all there is, okay, if this is it, this is just everything there is, if this is it, okay, and it's total, and it's complete and it's life, what's there to control? Think about it. What's there to control? If this is all there is, okay, this is it. It's life. It's all the time. It's all things, all the time, and it's totally incomplete. What is there to control? Exactly. There's nothing to control, but the phantom man has to exist. Because the phantom man has to control something. So this can't be life. Life has to be something that you have. Life can't be all things all the time to the phantom man, because he's got to exist. Life has to be something that you have to work at, that you have to do, that you have to control. This is what we're constantly thinking, all of us. This is what life is. It's something I've got to do. This is why we have religions. Because the phantom man has to do something. Has to control something. Or has to be controlled. Because the phantom man is all about control. He sets himself up to be judge, jury, and he executes the judgments of good and evil. That's why we have the famine. Every one of us executes judgments of good and evil over things. Like I said, if I would have thought about this, I wouldn't have executed a judgment of good and evil like, you know what, it's just not a good time. I can't go. I'm setting up my judgments that this would not be a good time to go. So the greatest lie, the false identity, or the phantom man has ever perpetrated is to say that you have a life and you must live it. That's the greatest lie he's perpetrated. Is there's a life, that you have a life, and you have to live it. My kids have told me this all the time, because I said it too. You know, when I tell them what to do, Mom, leave me alone, it's my life. You know, like, you know, it's just my life. I just, you know, let me figure it out. I can do it, it's my life. You know, or everybody has their own life to live. You know, don't try to tell him. He has his own life to live. You know, we say that all the time. And that's because that's what we believe. That life is this commodity. It's something that this phantom has. And it's a commodity that he has control over. And he can determine, you know, which way it's going to go. Like, I can join myself to this God or the supreme being, and I can control the things that are going to be in my life. Or those that don't want to believe just say, you know what, it's all me, I can do it myself, I have control over what I'm going to do, when I'm going to do it. But it's still the phantom man. It's not life. Is this making sense to anybody?
Yeah.
We're all just absorbing it. So, the false identity has enforced this lie that life is something that you live in order for control. So, believing that there is a you that has a life and believing that it's something you live is all about control. So, think about that. Believing that there is a you that has a life and that believing it is something you live is all about control. If there is a you, then there's always going to have to be something you control, whether it be a person, whether it be a circumstance, feelings, anything. Why do you think that everyone talks about, oh, there's choices and you have to weigh the choices about good or bad and you have to make decisions for yourselves? It's all about control. The phantom man has to be in control, has to make those decisions. And it's all based on this false mindset of who we think we are. We base all of our decisions on that. And that mindset has come from just words that people have spoken over you and said, and this is who you think you are, and then you make all decisions based on that, based on good or evil. And that's why we have, everybody has a different view of what good and evil is, because everyone sees themselves differently. When it's just this, there is no self, there's this, life, that's it, in this body. I might have a different look than you do, but I'm you. You're me. There is no difference. None whatsoever. It's just this life experienced was, you know, in Illinois, sitting in front of a TV watching, you know, Oral Roberts. You guys all had something different. But it's the same life. You watched Oral Roberts? Okay. So, but it's the same life. Yes, Richard and Patty Roberts, yes. Or we were talking about yesterday, Jack Van Impe. Yeah. Anybody had to watch Jack Van Impe?
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about that he was still on. It's just like, oh, Roxella. So the false identity then has said that there's a life and you must live it. And it has even given you a time frame in order to live this life. It's from the time that you're born until the time that you take your last breath. So you have a time frame, you have a space of time that you have got to live this life. And you got to hurry up, you got to make the most of it. But all the while, it's the phantom. He gets to call all the shots within those times. Because I only have, you know, 70, 80 years yet. I've got to make the most of it. So I've got to do this, and I've got to do that, and I've got to make sure I get this in line, and I've got to make that in line, and I want to make sure I achieve these goals, and I achieve that goal. And all the while, it's just the phantom man just sitting there controlling everything, just saying, you know. And then, because the phantom man knows his limitations, well, I'll ask the Supreme Being to do it for me. But it's really this, wanting to control this so that they control the life. So it's the man behind the curtain that's bending his knees, trying to control everything. And so that's why we have a lifetime. I only have a lifetime to get all this done. So I better get it done. So the phantom has perpetrated that lie. We even have religions that if we don't have enough time in the lifetime, we have to go another lifetime. Or we need to live beyond the grave. So we've perpetrated, if you do certain good things, you're going to get to live your life behind all these pearly gates and sit on clouds, which, okay, most people are probably above that now, but, you know, that's how it used to be, that if you did all the right things, you could extend your life. But it was you. It was the phantom who was going to be able to live. Not life. Life in its own definition can never end because it's life. Life can never die because it's life. Doesn't know anything else. Doesn't know death. Doesn't know it. So there is no death with life. But the phantom knows that when it leaves this body, it's not going to exist. So it comes up with these religions that you need to do this because then you'll be able to extend this life after you leave the body. But again, it's all about control because I have to do this in order to get that. And every religion is like that.
Well, 70 virgins.
If you can handle 70 virgins, hey, more power to you. That's right. Okay, so if life is all there is, and there is no you that needs to do something, what do you think, and you really, what do you think the phantom man's going to do? If you really start to say, that's true. What do you think the Phantom Man's going to do? It's not going to be happy. It's not going to. He's going to start chipping away and start talking and going, that's not true. No, because look, I exist. I exist. I'm here. Don't tell me I don't exist. I do exist. He's going to start chipping away and just start keeping the mind, the old mindset state. No, that's not true. There's not just life. There's not just one life. That's impossible. You can't understand that. That's not true. If you can't understand it, it's not true. I don't know how many times that's brought him here. It's not true. You don't understand it. But when I started just to saying, you're right, I don't understand it. I don't have to understand it. And I just, like Mike said last night, just let go and just that I'm not controlling anything. It's amazing how life just was the way it was supposed to be. And I didn't even have to control it. Didn't even have to think about it. You know, we've been given a brain, which is really wonderful. But that brain is like a computer. Okay, it's just to compute. It's just to, you know, see, you know, to breathe and that. But the mind was created to figure things out between good and evil. Can you imagine if we didn't have a mind, how wonderful things would be? Because have you ever just done something, and Phyllis and I was talking about this yesterday, is that you did something and you didn't even think about it. You didn't think about it at all, you just did it. And then you kind of went back and said, why did I do that? But it was the perfect thing to do. But you didn't even have, you don't even sometimes remember thinking that you did it, but you did it, and it was the perfect thing to do. And that was life working through you, because there was no thought. It just happened, and you just did it. And you didn't have to think about it. You didn't have to judge, well, I need to do this. You just did it, and there was no thought. Wouldn't that be a great, great way to live? And that's how we can live. When you live that there is only life, and know that this life is complete. But the mind doesn't want to tell you. The mind will say, nope, you have to think everything. You have to judge this. You have to judge that this is good for you, if that's good for you. If life is complete, it knows how to take care of itself. You don't have to sit there and worry how it's going to be. It knows how to be complete, because it is complete. So it knows how to be complete, because it is. So you can rest in that. How do you release control from everything? Is by knowing that there is no separate you or phantom man that can control anything. There is only absolute truth of what is, and that is only life. There is no judgment of any good or evil. You know, life doesn't know good or evil. It doesn't know any opposites. You know, life doesn't know health, because it doesn't know sickness. Uh-oh. Life doesn't know lack, so it doesn't know what abundance is.
Ooh, I like that.
It doesn't know that. Doesn't know opposites. Doesn't know what good is, because it doesn't know what evil is. Doesn't know that. There was the knowledge of good and evil, and then there was life. And it's life doesn't know those things. Life only knows completeness. So if something is complete, how is it going to know something that is lacking? If life is totally complete, how is it going to know anything other than that? It's not. It only knows completeness. But see, we judge things by opposites. We look at circumstances and say, oh, you know, I don't have this or I don't have that. And we're never to look at this realm. And, you know, I'm going to get into that a little bit later, but it's life is complete. So it can't know anything that other than that. It can't know what death is, because it's life. You know, it's love. It can't know what hate is.
But yet, the love that we think of what our love is, it doesn't know what that is either. Because we think we know what love is because we think we know what hate is. Okay, so if we know the opposite, then, okay, we know what this is. This is hate, this is love. But that's just opposites again. It's not really unconditional love. Because unconditional love doesn't know what hate is. Because it has absolutely no idea of any opposites whatsoever. And that's a hard thing to fathom. Because we live in the realm of opposites. But that's what we've got to see, is this life does not know anything but completeness. It's totally complete. And when it's over here, it's complete. And when it's over here, it's complete. And when it's over here, it's complete. So when it's sitting there, it's complete. When it's sitting there, it's complete. When it's sitting there, it's complete. There, 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 and there, and there, it's complete. And out there, it's complete. Complete. Doesn't lack anything, doesn't need anything, doesn't need to get anything, doesn't need to become enlightened, doesn't need to get more loving. You know, a lot of times we want to read and we want to grow and we think we need to, you know, we need to become more this and become that. Life doesn't need to become more anything. It's complete. Where it's at, it's complete. What we need to do is get this phantom man out of the way and let that completeness flow. Yeah. That's what we need to do.
Yeah. Write that quote now.
The false identity has made a definition of what life is so that it can be understood. And always remember this. If you think you know what life is, it's not life. Because life cannot be understood up here. It's so far beyond any comprehension. Again, it's all in all. And I have no comprehension of what all is because I don't know what all is. Because I don't know all. It's mine doesn't know what all is. I can't even begin to know what all is. And all the time, all things. So if that's how you know. That is life. It is all in all. And that's, and I walk around going, it's all in all and it's all there is. When I start feeling, you know, putting under pressure that I have to, exactly. When I, you know, at work and I start feeling under pressure that, you know, I've got something, you know, got to figure stuff out. And, you know, I try to get in that mindset trying to start figuring stuff out. And it's like, you know what? I might think this is right. Now, you know what? I just have to step back and go, you know what? I just know that all there is life. All there is life. And it calms, starts to have that calm come. And then before you know it, I'm picking up a phone call. I don't even know why I'm picking up a phone call, and I'm doing something that I never even thought about doing, and it works out. But I didn't think about it. I calmed myself realizing that there is only life, and life is complete, so it knows everything. It is everything. So I just calm and let it do. And you know what? That's what true humbleness is, if you want to think about it. That's really true humbleness. You know, we think humbleness is, you know, we kind of berate ourselves like, oh, somebody gives you a compliment and, oh, thank you, but no, I'm really not that. Or, you know, we have this idea of what humbleness is, and that's not humbleness at all. Humbleness is getting that phantom man the heck out of the way and realizing he doesn't exist. There is no you to be able to do anything and to take control of anything. That's true humbleness, that there is no you. You know, but we have in our minds that you know, humbleness is something else. So I hear it all the time, people just kind of, you know, cutting themselves down and talking about themselves, and I'm just kind of looking at them going, well, okay. And what's sad is, when they do that, it just enforces their phantom man even more. Because they don't think they're good enough. And so they go out there and they just, the phantom man tries even harder to exalt himself. So, it's life. I know it looks kind of funny, but it's life. And it's all there is. It's all there is. It's life. And what we want to look at is, we have a tendency is, we look in this room, and we look all around us and think, well, this is life. You know, me sitting up here, you know, this is life. But this isn't life. It's an expression of life, but it's not life. And a lot of times that's what we look at this and think that this realm is what life is, where life is, and this is life. The span of this lifetime, this is life, and this is not life. And we go about trying to change this. And tomorrow, that's kind of a little bit what I'm going to talk about tomorrow, is that since we think that this is life, we go about trying to change these circumstances because we think that this is life. But since this is life and real life is complete, we got to quit judging these circumstances as good, and we've got to quit judging these circumstances as evil. We've got to quit looking at everything that happens to us and judging it and saying, you know what, this is good, this is bad. Because this isn't truth, and this is not life. Life doesn't change. This never changes. If something is total and complete, always is, always was, the same, what needs to be changed? What can you change? It doesn't even know change, if you really want to think about it. This doesn't know change. Doesn't even know how to change, because it's all there is. So how can you change to something else when this is all there is? And it's the same, that's the thing. How can we change into something else when this is all there is? It's life. This is what dwells in these bodies. It's just life, and it's just the one life. You know, I wrote that poem that said, you know what, there is no me, there is no you. The housing might be a little different, but we're all the same, and that's the truth. I mean, it wasn't too long after I had gotten, you know, the Plato that I really saw that. It's wow. Just that, you know what, it's the same. There is only this life, and that is all there is. So tomorrow I'm going to talk a little bit about the circumstances and about change. And you know, I love it when Mike says that nothing is out of order. And that's true. Nothing is out of order. Life is never out of order. Doesn't know how to be out of order. And that is what is never out of order, is life. Because that's all there is. But if we want to stop gaining control, that's what we've got to see, is that this life is never out of order. And nothing needs to be done in life. And what is life? It's all in all, and it's all there is. And it's not a you that has to live it. And that's what you have to understand.